You're listening to the Toy Photographers Podcast, the official podcast of toyphotographers.com. I'm James Garcia, and on this show, I talk to photographers around the world who are turning Lego, action figures, miniatures, custom creations, and more into amazing works of art. This week, I spoke with another member of the editorial team here at Toy Photographers, Lizzie Standing. Lizzie is from the UK and has traveled all over Europe for toy photography meetups. We discuss some tips and tricks for anyone going to a meetup or traveling with toys, the challenges of a 365 project, our mutual excitement for the upcoming Harry Potter Lego sets, and more. So without further ado, on with the show. As we're recording this, you just got back from vacation, so welcome back. Where did you go, and did you get any good toy photos while you were gone?
Yeah, I went to the Lake District, which is in the north of England, about 5 hours from me, and I didn't get as many toy photos as I wanted. I spent quite a lot of time taking pictures of landscapes, not my normal cup of tea, but it was so breathtakingly beautiful that you just kind of had to stop and think, wow, I need to take a picture of that. And toys kind of fell by the wayside a little. But I did get some. I definitely took a lot more toys than I ended up photographing. So it's like overpacking.
Yeah. Can you talk a little bit about how you first got into photography and then we'll switch into toys?
Yeah, sure. I didn't really get into photography until I went to university. I started in about 2008, I think I worked it out. I started taking pictures primarily on Flickr. And I did a kind of a self-portrait project and a couple of other odd projects that kind of were photography based, including one where I stood on a bench every Monday for a year and took a picture of that. So very cool. Different from toy photography. And then I was always just using a point and shoot. And eventually I got serious enough about photography after university to buy a DSLR. And it's all kind of gone on from there.
When did you start photographing toys then? How did that come about?
Well, it started because I brought the geek. There's like a little Lego geek person that was in one of the collectible minifigure series. And I brought it for my other half for Christmas one year. And I hadn't touched Lego since I was a kid when I brought that. But it was just too good to pass up. And with his little C++ mug, and he was just really cute. So I brought him that for his Christmas stocking. And then I realized that there was this whole world of tiny little cute figures that I could get. So really, it's all his fault. And I kind of started photographing them as part of a 365 iPhone project I was doing. I was taking pictures every day with my phone. And it's hard to find things to photograph every day. So toys kind of started slipping into my pictures. And I started getting more and more Lego and more figures. And it just kind of snowballed from that.
Yeah, let's talk about those 365 projects, because you've done a few of them, and I've always been way too intimidated to even try to do one, but you've taken on the challenge of doing several, including last year. Can you talk about what drives you to do a project like that and how that experience has been each time you've done it?
Yeah, I mean, I started doing them when I was at uni and sort of, but non-toy ones, more self-portraits and sort of life stuff. And the drive there really was just to record things and to keep track of what I was doing and where I was in my life. With toys, the drive has been very different. It's been much more about learning how to use a camera and sort of forcing myself to take pictures every day. Because when I don't have a project, I tend to just be really lazy and don't do anything. And then I'll think, I'll get to the end of a month and I'll be like, wow, I only took like 2 pictures this month. So part of the project that focus is to say, right, okay, you're going to take a picture every day. You're going to go do this. Otherwise, I won't pick up my camera, which is something that I do miss doing. If I don't do photography, I miss it. But it's sort of forcing yourself to come home from work and go out into the garden and take some pictures.
What are some of the challenges that come with doing a photo every day? I can't imagine the planning and then having to remember to do it every day. What are some of the biggest challenges you've faced when doing that?
Motivating myself to go do it. And finding something to photograph every day, which is where the toys kind of really help, because obviously Lego's always introducing new toys, new minifigures. So there's always something that you could go buy to photograph if you were really stuck. I think one year I did a project where each month I had a set character or characters. So for example, March 2015 or 16, I did Snape month. So every day I took a picture of Severus Snape. And then in like September, I did Stormtrooper September. And every day I take a picture of a Stormtrooper. So kind of having like mini projects within a bigger project overcome some of the oh, I have to take a picture every day of the same thing, or it kind of gives you a set goal. The hardest thing I found was certainly towards the end of last year was motivating myself to go and do it. I like the end result of my photos and I like publishing them every day, but actually the amount of effort involved in doing that was really, really starting to drag on me, and I was getting really tired of taking pictures. So then I knew it was time to take a break.
Yeah, when it stops becoming fun and just starts becoming stressful and work, then it's time to take a step back, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
Speaking of Lego, you shoot a lot with Lego. Did you like Lego as a little kid, or how has your experience with Lego been?
I definitely had Lego as a kid. I remember having like a couple of crates at my grand's with like Lego for all the cousins to play with. And I really remember the old pirate ship with the red and white striped flag, like the classic pirate ship. I remember that, but I don't really remember very much else about Lego at that point. So as a kid, yes, I played with it, but I don't have any kind of lasting memories of playing with it. As a grown-up, like, I always, you know Lego exists, you know it's there. I brought one Star Wars set when, like, Phantom Menace came out, but I don't know what happened to that. It kind of vanished when I moved. It was a bit of a shame. I was always one of those, where did that go? Definitely had that. So, until I started photographing the Lego, it certainly wasn't something I imagined I'd end up spending a lot of money and a lot of time buying and playing with.
What do you think it is about Lego that has captured your attention and made it such a fun subject for you to photograph now?
I think just, so for example, with the Stormtroopers, they're kind of like an everyman, and you can put them in any situation and they're recognizable as part of a universe, but you can like kind of like bring them out of that into the real world. So I like that about the Stormtroopers and the basic Lego minifigures. Obviously, with the CMFs, the collectible minifigure series, Lego's created hundreds of characters that you can sort of drop into the real world and play with, or build little sets to play with. So I think Lego's really kind of captured, for me anyway, the ability to find a character and to put it into my world and play with it. So for example, with characters like Snape and Harry Potter, they have their own kind of known universe, but then you can kind of play with that. So you can either play with them in their world, or you can say, right, okay, I'm going to do something really crazy with Snape. Like, I'm going to make him, I don't know, I'm trying to think of an example now. I think I've had him hold a bunch of flowers and, you know, have a love potion, or like things that might not normally happen to those characters, but you have Legos, like there's enough accessories and there's enough things around them that you can take them out and play with them as you want them to be.
You don't only shoot Lego, though. You shoot other toys. Like, I love your Woody photos. Can you talk about some of your other favorite toys and why you like photographing them?
Yeah. So I was originally just a Lego photographer. I never imagined other toys. I never really thought about other toys. And then I went on a toy safari and I discovered Woody and Danbo, which are both I think it's Revoltech. Not sure how you pronounce that. A Japanese company. And I immediately left the Hamburg Toy Safari and went home and brought a Danbo. But it wasn't until a few years later, that last year now, I guess, I brought the Woody. They're very different from Lego because the scale's very different. So it's a whole nother world of trying to learn how to scale things.
Yeah.
But I really like the Woody character for the reasons we've discussed with like the Stormtrooper or Snape, is that there's a known characterization for Woody. Like, people know him, he's immediately recognizable, but you can put him into different situations that he would never as Woody have been in.
And I
really like that about him. But also with Woody, the colors of Woody, of the actual figure, he's so vibrant, he really kind of stands out wherever you put him. So he's a lot of fun to play with, and he's very poseable, although almost too poseable, because sometimes his limbs just kind of fall off and you'll find like a Woody arm in your pocket and you're like, huh, where did that come from? why is that there?
Oh, poor Woody.
Yeah.
I guess that's kind of in line with what happens to him throughout the Toy Story movies, though, so that could work. Yeah, too.
I think so. I mean, when you buy the Woody, he comes with a Buzz hand. So like at one point I think Buzz Lightyear's hand falls off in one of the movies. It's been a long time since I've watched them, but the actual figure comes with a Buzz hand, so you have this hand and you can like kind of like mix and match his hand with Buzz's. But yeah, he's certainly been a lot of fun.
You you mentioned Toy Safaris. Let's jump into that. I know that's a little later in my question list for you, but you attended the Hamburg Toy Safari in 2016, Edinburgh last year. You even hosted your own in London last year. Can you talk about your experience with Toy Safaris, why you wanted to attend them, and what that experience has been like?
Yeah, absolutely. I first went to a Toy Safari in Hamburg, like you said, which was run by Stuck in Plastic, and I honestly can't remember how I found out about it, but it was absolutely terrifying. I mean, get on a plane, go to a foreign country with people you've never met in real life and just go meet them at the airport. But they were the most welcoming people. I think the toy community in general is incredibly welcoming, yeah. Especially if you're new. Everyone's open to talking to you. So I got on this plane and I went, and I can't remember how many of us. There must have been about 10 or 15 of us. And Stefan took us around Hamburg for 2 days, and it was absolutely amazing to just get up at the crack of dawn and go to Hamburg Central Station and shoot laying on the floor with people like, is it Ritalid, Malik, and Stefan and Boris, and just to sort of be there at the crack of dawn, sun coming up, trains passing by underneath, people driving by looking at us laying on the floor, and to not be alone doing that. There's definitely a sense of something when you do get out on a toy safari.
Yeah.
So we came back from that one, and 6 months later, I was like, I want to do it again. I don't want to wait a full year until next September. I'm going to host one in London. So I did. So I put out sort of some tentative, is anyone interested? Would anyone actually want to come to this if I spend 2 days in London showing people around? And I think there was about 8 of us in the end, married with Bricks came over from Germany. Boris came, Malik came, so that Stacey, who lives in England as well, came, and we had an absolutely great time. It was one of those things that's exhausting because you're walking all day and you're touring London and you're taking pictures, but it was really good. It's quite stressful from a planning point of view because you want to make sure that everyone's enjoying themselves and you're showing them the right things to take them places to take pictures of, but it's definitely something I'd do again. And I think like little regular meetups in London would be really good because there's so much there that you can photograph. You just have to get the time of day a bit right. Otherwise it gets very, very busy. And one of the things that was nice about the Edinburgh Toy Safari, which we did, I think it was last September, was that whilst we spent 1 day in Edinburgh, we actually rented cars and drove out into the Highlands and went to sort of some more remote locations. So it wasn't all kind of cram packed with people all the time. And we actually had that kind of different environment to go shoot in, and that was really that was really good and very picturesque if you're ever in the Scottish Highlands. It was a great place for toy photography.
Awesome. I've never been to Europe, but I'm really, really want to go, especially I keep seeing all of these safaris you guys are doing and the photos that come from that. I'm like, God, that would just be amazing. So hopefully someday in the future we could do a meetup or something. That would be really fun.
I think so. I mean, I think it's like when the American Toy Safaris are running, I'm like, God, I really want to be there. Like, it's just too far away.
It's amazing how widespread the toy photo community is across the world, but also it can be frustrating because it's like, well, everybody is so far away.
Yeah, absolutely. Like with the Oregon one coming up, I was just trying to work out like how much would it cost? How could I possibly get there? Because it would just be great. But I unfortunately am already signed up to go to the Paris Toy Safari in June. And so that will be my Toy Safari for this year. But again, I think Paris is going to be an absolutely spectacular location for a Toy Safari. And yeah. I'm looking forward to Julianne showing us around. Going to go see the Eiffel Tower and Disneyland. So expect some toy photos from Disney.
But they seem to go well together. So I think that that'll be a good mix, you know.
I think so. I've definitely got some Disney minifigures hanging around that I think will make the trip.
Rewinding just a little bit, you've mentioned Harry Potter a few times, and I know that your photography and your style is really influenced by some of those more geeky franchises. Can you talk about some of your favorite franchises and how you think those have influenced you as an artist and in your photography?
That's a great question. The first big franchise I remember really is Star Wars. My dad and my older brother were always very kind of encouraging of anything nerdy, movie related, or so Star Wars was always big on the list of franchises I've really enjoyed growing up. And to have such a huge amount of toys that you can play with from the Star Wars universe, that just, it really opens up what you can do with it. In terms of Star Wars, stormtroopers are probably the biggest impact on my toy photography. They appear everywhere, and I know I'm not alone in that, because you just see stormtroopers sort of across all types of toy photography, from, you know, like the 6-inch figures to Lego. You can get really big stormtroopers. They do just seem to sort of crop up.
Yeah.
And I think it's, like I said earlier, that everyman kind of thing, where you can actually put a stormtrooper into a situation that could be anyone, but it's just your kind of default canvas because it's recognizable and it draws you in. And I think that people, that appeals to people. Like, you get what in the movies is just a kind of, you know, a red shirt guy who is in the background and is very likely to just miss everything he tries to shoot. And then you can put him in the real world and he can be humorous or he can be serious, and you can do what you want with him. Because whilst he's part of the Star Wars universe, he's not got that kind of, he's not characterized, so you can characterize him. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely. I love stormtroopers too for that reason, and pretty much every person on the podcast so far has said similar things about why they shoot with stormtroopers and why they love stormtroopers. I think a stormtrooper is definitely one of the most iconic toys in the toy photo community.
Yeah, absolutely. The other franchise, like you said, I keep mentioning, is Harry Potter. And I actually don't have very much Harry Potter Lego. I have two figures. I have Snape and I have a Harry Potter. I unfortunately got back into Lego way after Harry Potter stopped being made in terms of the sets. Mm-hmm. And I didn't even know that it existed, which is really bad because I'm a huge fan of the books and the movies. So apparently the toy universe for Harry Potter passed me by completely. But with the new sets coming out, I'm very excited to see those and actually have more characters to play with. But Severus Snape is my favorite Harry Potter character, which you can see by how much I use him for photos. He's definitely a one that I keep in my little TARDIS tin that I carry around with me, again, because I like putting him in situations that he wouldn't maybe normally be in. Like, he's perceived as this, I mean, he is a very dark character, and actually I kind of like making him a light character and putting him in silly situations that he would never ever be in. So I'm looking forward to getting my hands on some other characters to kind of do the same thing and see how that goes.
I'm excited to see those from you too, because I've really loved your Snape photos as well. I love Harry Potter too, and Snape is definitely one of my favorite characters as well. And I'm excited for the upcoming Harry Potter sets. I can't believe they've waited so long to bring them back.
I know. There's such a, even like, for new kids reading the books and the movies, there's still such a market for it, I think. It's just such a universe that, you know, J.K. Rowling is continuously putting stuff out about it. So you've got all these grown-ups who, like yourself and me, who really want to buy it and will go out of their way to go and buy Harry Potter stuff, regardless really of what it is, because they grew up with that universe. But then you've also got a new generation coming in where, you know, they're getting the books read to them and they're maybe watching the movies and they're getting the Fantastic Beasts stuff. So I think, yeah, waiting so long, it's been very upsetting for me because I really want more Lego.
Yeah, absolutely.
I can't quite justify the secondhand prices of the Hogwarts stuff either, because they're just, they are very, very expensive, the castle and stuff.
And even the minifigures, I've, you know, looked on Bricklink or eBay and stuff, and some of the minifigures are super expensive as well.
Yeah, I think my Snape figure, my original Snape figure, he was the first figure I brought on eBay, and I think I paid something like £20 for him. And I had to sort of say to myself over and over again, it's okay, you're going to use this a lot. You're going to want this.
Yeah, it's an investment.
It's an investment. I couldn't quite, I still struggle with this as well. How do you justify spending £20 on one small, tiny bit of plastic? But that's where my creative outlet is, so that's what I'm going to spend my money on. I did also buy a custom Snape as well from Minifig Me, because I wanted a backup Snape, and he has like a different outfit, so that's quite cool. But I don't shoot with him as much. I tend to just use the original one, so I don't really know what it is. I mean, the custom printing is good, but it's not as good as the Lego printing. So there's that for photography. Like on my custom Snape, you can kind of see the print a lot clearer. And like when you're taking macro photography, like it can be a bit distracting. And so I kind of like the original Snape. I do have several custom figures. So I've got like a Jack Skeleton and a Spock from Star Trek, who I've actually not ever taken any pictures of yet. But I will one day, promise. And I do like customs because they do give you, you know, they let you buy stuff that maybe you're not ever going to get from Lego. Like, I can't see Lego ever doing a Star Trek series.
Unfortunately,
yeah, I think they'd rake it in doing it. But I do like the customs. But I think with Snape, the original's the one I've been shooting with for a few years now, and he's my version of Snape. So I think there's something for that.
You've done a lot of traveling with toys. We've already mentioned a few of the amazing countries you've visited. Can you talk about what it's like traveling with toys, photographing them in new places, and some of the challenges associated with that?
Yeah, I mean, having just come back off holiday, it's all very fresh in my mind. The biggest challenge to start with is picking what you're going to take, especially if you're flying and you've got very limited luggage. So for the Hamburg and Edinburgh toy safaris, I flew and I only had hand luggage. So if you've already got all your camera kit, you have to really think carefully about what toys you're going to bring.
Mm-hmm.
So that's step one in going on holiday with toys, is work out what you want. And then I try and pare it back further than my original kind of selection, because I know that when I get there, the chances of me actually using everything are very slim. And especially if you're going on toy safari, more often than not, you raid other people's toy boxes than your own.
Yeah.
So you take your selection and then you go look at what other people bring and then you borrow their toys, which is how I ended up with both a Woody and a Danbo, because I discovered that I liked them a lot. And also Fabuland, that's completely Stefan's fault from the Hamburg toy safari, where they gave all of us a Fabuland character. So that kind of got a whole bunch of us addicted to buying Fabuland, and I'm pretty certain we were outbidding each other on eBay for it. The next thing about traveling with toys is kind of like storing them and getting them there and getting them back without losing everything. That's one of the things I find really difficult with traveling with toys. I tend to lose bits. So for example, when we went to Hamburg, I dropped a Starbucks coffee cup Lego piece in the river, so that wasn't very good. I was trying to balance it and the wind took it. And this is an example of why you should always use something sticky to attach your toys to sides with, especially if you're working over water.
Yeah.
Wire is always useful as well in your toy box if you do a lot of posing that could get difficult. And getting all that into some sort of tub or container, and then hopefully finding a rucksack that fits everything in. So my biggest problem is that I have not found a bag that I like to take on safari or for carrying toys and camera gear. So I always look at what other people have got, and I'm still trying to work out the best bag to buy. At the moment, I just use a hiking bag, but it's not big enough for everything. So I end up sort of having to kind of cram everything in to get it to fit. In terms of the actual photography, going to a new place that you haven't necessarily been to before, you don't necessarily know the best places to shoot or where the light's going to work or what time of day you should go shoot in a certain place, because it might not be busy. And that's one of the nice things about toy safaris, is that usually there's a host and they usually live in the area and they know where to go shoot, what the best times to do certain things are, where it's going to be busy. So that's a really good advantage to going with people who know the location. But if you're just winging it and you're just going off by yourself, it can be a bit difficult to find the right spot. I think an open mind is really important. Is, you know, if you find somewhere and you're walking past it and you think that would be a good spot, just go for it. I think certainly, like when I just went to the Lake District, you know, you're walking up a mountain and you're like, right, there, that's a good bit of moss, I'm going to use that. And then you make everyone stop. Like, could you just wait a second? Please don't climb any further without me. And then kind of take your picture and hope for the best. I tend to shoot quite quickly on holiday, certainly if I'm with my other half, who's not a toy photographer and doesn't really enjoy the toy photography thing, especially not waiting around for hours for me to get the perfect shot. I have to work quite quickly, which is why I heartily recommend the traveling with toy photographers. The toy safaris are well worth it just for that. Although I did drag my other half to the London toy safari because he is better at directions than me, and I didn't want to get an entire group of tourists lost, because I don't live in London. So even I was a bit like, I don't know where I'm going. But with Paris, he's coming with me as well, because he grew up in Paris and he wants to go back, and I want to see, you know, it's Paris.
Yeah.
I want to go with someone, you know. So he has agreed to come with me to Paris, but I'm pretty certain there'll be a bit of sort of like, oh, come on, stop stopping.
Go send him sightseeing and then you guys can stop and take your photos while he's going and
We'll set him up in a coffee shop.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Say, you know, don't see anything cool without me. Just wait here until I come back.
I think he'll really appreciate that.
You're the first guest I've had from the UK, actually.
Awesome.
Have you noticed a community of toy photographers there? Are there other photographers in the UK that you're connected with?
Yeah, I mean, there are definitely a bunch of toy photographers in the UK. I've only connected with a few of them, mostly on the toy safaris here. So there's a guy called Matt in Kent who came up to the London Toy Safari for the day. And then there's Chris Rose, I think, in Manchester, and Ian, whose last name I don't remember, up north as well. So there is a small community of people that I know of. It's hard because, like all things, toy photography is global. And when you're online, it doesn't matter where you are. Mm-hmm. But I do think that some more England-based toy safaris. So when we were in Edinburgh, we were discussing like doing a northern toy safari and trying to get more people from the north to come, like maybe in Yorkshire or somewhere, and try and meet up more. Because England's not that big. I mean, you can get from one end of the country to the other in, you know, it might take a day if you're driving, but you can fly very quickly. Mm-hmm. So we don't have, that I know of anyway, it could be possibly going on that I don't know of, kind of our own little community. But there's certainly quite a lot of us around.
Speaking of the larger community, how did you first find the toy photo community once you started photographing toys?
I was thinking about this because obviously you send the questions in advance and I actually don't remember. So that's really bad, isn't it? When I first started getting in like toys into my 3-6 size projects and when I started getting Lego, I started a blog and I started like reviewing sets and they're all still up there, but no one ever looks at them and I don't look at them because they were awful. But they, you know, went like bad blogging from your early days kind of
thing.
Oh
yeah, I know it too well.
Yeah, so I kind of did that and it was in my own little world and I never really like looked at what other people were doing. I was just doing it because I had the sets and I wanted to practice photographing them and doing this. And eventually I ended up on Instagram and that was around 2015. Like I'd already been blogging for a couple of years, like on my own. So I joined Instagram, but before that I've always been on Flickr. So since 2008 or so, I have been an active Flickr member. All my 365 projects have been Flickr based and Flickr community based. And so when I first started posting toy photos, I looked for toy communities on Flickr and I found a few. Flickr's not as active anymore. Like the community side of Flickr's really dropped down recently. So it's more for me now a hosting, kind of like just putting my photos up to host them. So originally the toy photography community I saw was on Flickr and then eventually I was like, I'm going to start an Instagram for toys. And I started using hashtags. And then you very quickly start to realize how many people are taking toy photos.
Yeah.
And I just kind of fell into it almost, I think. And kind of I met the Stuck in Plastic guys on, you know, started following the Stuck in Plastic blog and then Toy Photographers when that started. Did a month for Brick Central and that really grew my Instagram account. So there's no one thing that says to me in my head, this is when I came into the toy photography community. It was quite a gradual kind of process from moving from my blog to Flickr to Instagram.
Let's talk about Flickr a little bit because I tend to just use it too as just hosting and I've never really been tapped into the community there. But I know that a lot of people in the toy photo community either started there or used it at some point. What initially drove you to Flickr and can you talk about that community a little bit?
When I first started using it, so I checked the date that I signed up in preparation for this and it was September 2008 and by October I'd started a 365 project. So I think originally I joined because I wanted somewhere to put my photos that my mum could see. So that was when I first joined. And then very quickly I started doing photo projects and the communities around photo projects on Flickr at the time were very supportive. So there was a group for October 2008 365 starters. And there was probably about 30 or 40 people who started a 365 project in October of that year who went through the whole year together. Some people dropped out, obviously. And by the end, you had like a really good group of people who were supporting each other, commenting, you know, critiquing and sharing. And so I kind of got into Flickr and then I stayed on Flickr because of that community. And for a few years, that was a very active community. I did a few odd projects. I think I mentioned the standing on a bench every Monday. There was something called Wreck This Journal, where there was a book and you destroyed it and you like, and there was a big community around that. And there was a lot of friendship building through those things. And so Flickr kind of was a home for me on the internet in terms of photography. Flickr's changed a lot recently. Well, not recently, over the last few years. I still use it every day, but I'm not anywhere near as active. Like, people don't comment. So that's really sad to see. And I'm kind of clinging onto it because it was my first home.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to say I'm going to not use that. And I haven't even changed my username from my original online username to my Lego one, despite the fact that it's predominantly Lego now, because it's kind of harking back to something that I remember very fondly.
Yeah, it makes me sad because I know how big that Flickr community used to be, and it does make me sad that it's dropped off so much just because of, you know, Instagram and other things. Speaking of communities, though, you're part of the G+ community. You're pretty active there. You even started the No Figure Friday hashtag. Can you talk about the G+ community and specifically hashtags, too, because you started that one? Why do you think those are helpful for photographers?
Yeah, the G+ community is absolutely brilliant. I don't use G+ for anything other than toy photography.
Yeah, me neither.
Like, it wasn't until Shelley was basically like, you've got to go use G+, that I was like, oh, that still exists. That's still a thing. Okay. But it's a really active community, and it almost harks back to my early day experience of Flickr, where you've got people talking about your photos, engaging with your pictures, you know, commenting, liking. And it's very friendly, and it's not a scary world in there. It's like a little group of people, and it's not even that little anymore. It's quite a big group of people.
Yeah.
But there's a kind of community spirit in there, and that's really nice. Certainly if you're new to toy photography, to come in and see something like that actually this is a really friendly group. This is a really friendly bunch of people. And I can post here, and even if I'm posting something that might not be absolutely amazing, you're going to get feedback and you're going to get some good critiquing and help. And that, I think, is really important part of that. With hashtags, No Figure Friday is the hashtag that I started a few months ago. I have a thing for photographing toys, accessories that aren't the toys themselves. I've been doing that for probably about a year. So, you know, like photographing a hat by itself, or a magnifying glass, or a bottle, or a cup, and trying to kind of make a story without actually having any figures. I really enjoy doing that as a concept piece of work. And so I decided to start No Figure Friday as a hashtag and see if other people wanted to join in. And it's kind of taken off quite a lot. A lot of people are doing it.
Yeah.
last Friday, I was traveling home from the Lake District, and I was just looking at my phone. I was like, oh my God, loads of people are actually doing this. I haven't posted one yet. I need to do one.
It's going to take it on a life of its own without you.
Yeah. So I'm very excited to see people doing it. And what is interesting is seeing how people might use the same accessory and tell a completely different story. Or you see things that you've never seen before. I like seeing other people's toys. And I like when you find something that you're like, I've never seen that. That's so cool. And to see it as an accessory rather than a figure, I really like that. I think certainly when you're like a newbie and you're just starting, or even if, you know, you've been doing toy photography for years, sometimes it's nice to have structure and to know that, mm-hmm. you know, on a Saturday, you should take a picture of a space cowboy. So even if you've got absolutely no idea of what you want to take a picture of, you know that there's a hashtag and there's a community behind Space Cowboy Saturday. So you find your space cowboy and you go take a picture of him and you post it. And it kind of gets you taking a picture, even maybe on a day that you might not have done otherwise. The same, you know, like Toy Dino Tuesday. That's another one that I really like, is on a Tuesday, people post pictures of toy dinosaurs. And if you're just starting, it gives you something to look at, like, so you can click the hashtag and you can get a kind of select view of things. But again, it encourages you to participate. So with the, they're listed on the blog, but we've got sort of 6 or 7 hashtags that we kind of promote. And if, you know, you're looking at starting toy photography and you're about to join Instagram or Google+, they're a really good starting point because they kind of give you an idea of the kind of things the community as a whole get up to. It's a place to start, and it's a good, if you're down the line and you're just struggling, it's a good thing to go and have a look at and play with.
Yeah, absolutely. And I even use hashtags, especially your No Figure Friday one, to make an excuse to post a photo I maybe have taken a long time ago. We're recording this on a Saturday. Yesterday was No Figure Friday, and I had this TIE Fighter shot that I took months ago that I had never posted. And then I was like, oh, it's No Figure Friday, and I've got the perfect photo for it.
Absolutely. It's just a tool, isn't it? It's another way of getting you taking pictures. The more people go take pictures, the more pictures we get to look at. And yeah, that's a great thing. So we all win. Aside from sort of like the hashtags that kind of No Figure Friday, Toy Dino Tuesday, hashtags in general on Instagram are a great way to find people that are in your community. So for example, the toy photographers hashtag, you can now follow hashtags on Instagram. So you can actually see what people are posting to a hashtag. It just kind of appears in your feed. And that's a really great way of finding new people. So the toy photography community is always growing. There's always new people coming in. And quite often, I think, for those of us who have kind of been around for a little bit, we kind of forget that, and we kind of forget that there are actually other people coming in, and they're really, really good using those hashtags like the Toy Photographers One, or I'm particularly like the Women in Toy Photography hashtag. If you use those, you can start to find more people and you can kind of start to make more connections.
Let's talk about the blog, because now you're on the editorial team at Toy Photographers. How has that been for you and for your photography, and how did you start writing for the blog?
I wrote a few posts for Shelley on request, so she asked me to do like my first toy photo, and then she said at the sort of November last year, would I be willing to do kind of like a 6-week step in for someone who wanted to take a break. By Christmas that had turned into, do you want to do a full year? And I like blogging. I am a keen blogger, although I don't have you don't necessarily have time to do your own blogging, and actually blogging in general is much sort of less used than it used to be. It's not something people do every day anymore, or they don't go read them every day. Whereas, you know, 5 years ago, you'd have a list of blogs and you'd go read them and you'd comment on them and you'd engage. But that is kind of a bit different now from a personal blogging point of view. So I like blogging, and when Shelley asked, I jumped at it and I said, yes, that would be really fun. I'd really like to do that. It's now been, we're end of March, so 3 months, 4 months down the line, and writing a weekly blog for toy photographers about just about anything that crosses my mind. No set theme, not given any rules, just go for it, post something. And it's been great. It is hard work coming up with something new every week.
Yeah.
And I think you probably find that as well, because you've got both the podcast and your blog duties. It is hard to come up with something. And I think in terms of how it's affected my photography now is more orientated about making a post. So whereas last year it was more about, right, I've got to make a photo every day. This year it's more about, right, what do I want to write about this week? And do I have any photos for it? And do I have to go take photos for it? Mm-hmm. Or do I need to go raid the supermarket to buy something to take a picture of? Like coming up with the idea for the post rather than the idea for a photo. So that's a whole different challenge in its own right. But I think it's going okay.
Yeah, I think so. I love your articles every single week, so I think you're doing a good job.
Thanks.
Yeah, I love that you mentioned going out and buying things. You do get pretty experimental with the toys that you get and the posts that you're doing, whether that be trying out taking photos with your scanner or testing out strange blind bag toys. Do those just come up because there are things you want to try, or you think they'd be funny blog posts, or where does that come from?
I think a lot of it is about making a blog post and about finding things that I think people would be interested and amused by. I am not a serious photographer. I don't spend hours playing around in Photoshop. I don't spend hours playing with camera settings. I tend to just go and shoot something because I enjoy doing it. That has kind of led me to, I'm not that fussed about having a formal photo. Like the scanning thing was really fun. You know, it's not something you're ever going to sell as a piece of art, but it's fun. And I really think that for me, toy photography is a hobby, and I do it because I enjoy it. And I'm looking for as many ways to have the fun experience. And so that might be going through down the supermarket aisle going, right, what do I actually want to take a picture of? Is it this little My Little Pony blind bag, or is it this Harry Potter blind box? I went with the Harry Potter blind box, obviously.
Good choice.
That was a great experience doing this, kind of getting 10 blind bags and like of all random stuff. It made me realize how much rubbish is out there, though. There's just like a lot of stuff that, for a toy photographer at least, is absolutely no interest whatsoever, and I would never buy it again. But there are some gems. There are some really nice little things that, like the Pint Size Heroes by Disney. They're actually really cute and they're really fun to photograph. So I wouldn't have discovered those if I hadn't done this random experiment late on a Saturday night going down a supermarket. My latest crazy thing is I brought a box of Lego off our work classified ads, not knowing what was in it. And I'm now trying to sort out through it to find things to photograph. So it's all about finding new things to do that I might not do otherwise.
So to wrap up, do you have any advice or guidance you could give to somebody just starting out? I know you've kind of given tips throughout the podcast, but anything you could say to new photographers who are just finding the community or just getting started with toys?
Yeah, I think jump in. and ask for help. Everyone's incredibly encouraging, and most people will not turn you down if you're looking for advice on how to improve your photos or how someone does it or what light sources they use or what camera they're using. Everyone is incredibly welcoming and is happy for new people to join in and to take part. Even if you're brand new and you're looking at the toy safaris and you're like, oh, I shouldn't go, I don't know these people, go, because you will have an absolute blast, and it, you know, it will be an experience that you always remember.
And then where can people find your work online? What are your Instagram handles, Flickr, all that stuff?
Yeah, so Instagram, I am stepping_on_bricks, and my blog is steppingonbricks.com. You'll find me in both of those places, although the blog is slightly out of date at the moment due to other blogging responsibilities.
Well, cool. Thank you for being on the show. It's been really awesome talking to you and getting to know you more as a photographer. You know, obviously we talk a lot on G+ and stuff about the blog and all that stuff, but it was really fun to go through your feed and come up with questions and get to talk to you for the podcast. So thank you.
Thank you. It was great.
Since recording this episode, Lizzie has been on the hunt to discover fellow toy photographers in the UK and has made over 50 new contacts. She wrote about it on the blog, so I encourage you to go check out that post. And if you're in the area, reach out to her because there might be a toy photography meetup in your future. Thank you so much for listening. You can find new episodes of this podcast and daily articles on creativity and toy photography on our website, toyphotographers.com. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or wherever you get your podcasts. We also ask that you please leave us a 5-star review. That'll help spread the word about the show and help us get noticed. You can find us on Facebook at Toy Photographers and on Instagram at _toyphotographers_. Music for this week's episode is courtesy of freemusicarchive.org. And finally, you can reach out to us with comments, concerns, recommendations, etc. at toyphotographypod@gmail.com. I'm James Garcia. You can find my work every single week at toyphotographers.com, as well as on Twitter at TheRealJames, real spelled R-E-E-L, on Instagram at TheRealJames23, and on my website, TheRealJames.com. Thanks so much for listening. I'll see you guys next week.